listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 2nd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, hello, Michael. You know, as always, I'm awesome glad to be here.
And so happy to have you, so happy to have our live listeners. And as always, I want to send a thank you to those listening from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And, of course, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So we're going to have a very interesting topic tonight. We're going to get into alchemy, but I do want to kind of start at the outset. And Dr. Vicki, you and I had talked about this beforehand too. We just want to, you know, basically express our concern and our well wishes for everybody that's been affected by Hurricane Helene coming in through the southeastern United States. It has been an incredibly destructive storm. And we do have a few people in chat that have loved ones and friends that have been in the past. So, you know, thank you for sharing your stories. I'm seeing Dr. Jerry. Thank you for joining us tonight. I know you have friends that were flooded out. I'm glad that you're doing okay. I know Asheville got hit hard. Here in Florida, we kind of got sideswiped in my part of it. My brother, Dominic, he's in Asheville himself in the surrounding area. He's doing okay. House is okay. But, you know, they're completely without power, no phones, internet. So it's tough. And I see a few other folks that just have friends and loved ones that are in areas that are being cleaned up. It's going to be a long road, but, you know, our thoughts are with you. And we're wishing everyone the absolute best and stay safe. Floodwaters are no joke.
That's true. And for those who are running out of toilet paper, you'll be able to find some. I'm just saying, Dr. Jerry's mentioned that due to the dock strike, and of course she's in West Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. She said Costco and Walmart were already out of toilet paper. And so she said people laughed when she brought 5 of the big packs with her when she moved, and they won't be laughing now.
You know, bidets are going to become very popular. I have a feeling.
But, so there's comments. So people who are in the archives, if you ever get a chance to join us, it's kind of fun. So lots of chatter, and we enjoy our conversations. But, yes, I know that there are many people. I have good friends of mine lived in North Carolina and only just moved out. Ooh, you know, they had a job offers, went to Boston, and kind of in the nick of time, as it goes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's devastating, you know, to see any of the pictures and hear the stories and people still missing. And so.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been families that have been lost you know, almost entire families because of flooded down homes. One story of a family that was on the roof buckled and only the mom survived. You know, it's, yeah. It pulls at your heart. And, you know, the one thing, if you can call it a silver lining, but the one thing you can say is that people do pull together. And this shared pain does something. I can tell you, after Hurricane Ian just devastated my area, we were without power, you know, 2-3 weeks, just, you know, boil water. It was just tough. But people, by and large, aside from a story I told Dr. Vicky ahead of time, prior to the broadcast, by and large, people really came together and helped each other out and helped each other with damage. And, you know, it is one of those shared experiences that kind of brings us together, and for the worst of reasons, but it does help kind of reestablish your faith in at least humanity, if not the natural world at times.
Yeah. And Jerry just said, as sad and devastating as it was, there are some amazing stories of hope and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And there are. And that's what we have to hang on to,
mm-hmm.
you know, is that hope and the miracles that can come out of these things. And again, that's not in any way to diminish the numbers of lives lost and those missing. But, you know, it's a rude awakening for
sure.
Everybody.
You know?
It's like, yikes. I know, you know, at the same time, many people might not know this, but at the same time of Helene, there was an atmospheric river in Alaska, and they had massive flooding and quite a warming spell over toward the Arctic.
Mm.
Pretty crazy. And then suddenly temperatures plummeted to 20 to 30 degrees.
Ooh.
So it's very, very strange. Talking to my daughter, who's back at her home in Sedona today, and they have record-breaking temperatures there. Phoenix still has 113, 115 degrees today, which is, it's a record. They've never heard of that by the beginning of October. So, you know, the world's doing a little, you know, tossle.
You know, one thing I always just think about is it's not, the world has always gone through changes and all these different things, but it's the rate of change.
Yeah.
And one way or another, the earth is going to be fine. It's us. It's, you know, the societies we built. It's going to be tougher to find fresh water, to do these different things. But, you know, I also shouldn't go on a tangent. But, we're learning how to adapt to different things, and we have to. I was talking about houses in Florida. You're usually built to a different code because we have hurricanes that come all along. So we have concrete construction. So you have block houses, largely. And you don't see that on the interior, so the damage just gets tougher. So, I mean, how are we going to adapt? Are more storms going to go that far into the interior and, you know, unleash that much rain and floodwater? But I digress.
Well, Eastern Canada is putting forth a proposal to get rid of building basements in homes now,
mm-hmm.
for the rains and flooding that happen often in, now, these days, in Ontario and Quebec, you know, and, of course, the East Coast. So, so trying to minimize future damage. So.
Yeah, and we will. You know, human beings are very, very stubborn. We're gonna get through it, and we're gonna find ways to adapt.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
But anyway, it's
one day at a time, and do our best, and help those we can. And if you need help yourself, you know, ask.
Absolutely, good addition.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah.
But, you know, so we're going to talk about alchemy tonight.
We are.
And I guess the transformation, because, you know, I think the spiritual kind of, you know, connotation to alchemy is, you know, a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going through some kind of metamorphosis, you know, whether it's emotional, spiritual, and you say, oh, you know, it's kind of like alchemy. But the most common understanding of alchemy, Michael, isn't that we were talking about before the program, is, you know, you take lead and make silver or gold.
Right.
You know? And, but you had a good take on it, too. It was the early, explorations into science.
Right, yeah. And, you know, again, basically trying to understand our world, trying to understand the elements, right? Specifically the elements and, you know, how they work together. It is universal almost when you look at the human experience and what it means to be the human animal and to live in our societies. You see alchemy pop up independently, I will say, or, you know, largely in so many different areas of the world. You have the ancient Egyptian alchemy, you know, that we know mostly about it from the Ptolemies, the age of, you know, Alexander the Great going and conquering Egypt. You know, they started to dig into it. There was a melding of cultures, so they kind of dug on into some of the old ideas from Egypt, from Greece, Macedonia, and it kind of created this this early alchemy that we understand it as. But, you know, every culture has had it. There's Chinese roots to alchemy, Indian roots to alchemy, by which I mean the Indus Valley. You know, one thing that I didn't really think about until literally just now, what about indigenous First Nations people, Dr. Vicky? You might be more aware of kind of how they approached this idea of alchemy, of the elements and, you know, divining, you know, different things from that.
Yeah, I don't know, except in indigenous cultures, they're very well aware of what gases come off stones. And what you can use in sweat lodges, what you can use, because there's certain rocks you don't use. And that's why it's like the fire keepers are trained to know what to collect and know what to use, because some of them are very toxic. And actually, the famous case from many years ago where a bunch of white folks decided to do a smoke. And, of course, they didn't know what they were doing. And a few people died, and that's because they were basically poisoned. So if you don't use the right kinds of rocks, so the elements, when it comes to the elements, or what kind of trees to burn, cedar can actually be quite toxic if you use it. So things that you would use for teepee poles would only be certain kinds of trees. And so understanding those basic sciences goes back thousands of years, passed down. And again, the apprenticeship in learning this was, you know, very strict. As opposed to now, you can Google it and think you know everything, right?
That's exactly what I did.
You know, which kind of lends me to say that there are alchemical labs, and like for distillation. Sublimation, like turning a solid into a gas without having it pass through liquid phase. Distillation is a method of separating a mixture, you know, into its components. So there, you know, we do, is even in a contemporary sense, use alchemy, but not in the ancient way we think of. You know, just as a footnote, I had looked this up today, Michael. I thought, that's kind of interesting. In 1404, King Henry IV of England signed a law making it a felony to create gold and silver out of thin air.
Oh, wow.
He called it the Act Against Multiplication.
I don't know that
formally titled. And he outlawed something called multiplication, which in alchemy meant taking some of the material, like gold, and somehow creating more of it.
You know,
so you could take, you know, let's say a really hard chunk of gold, and you can add other elements to it to make more of it, and that was illegal.
Inflating like the currency and things. I have to believe there was a bit of just good old fashioned, you know, religious, you know, it's demonic, it's, you know, this, that, and the other witchcraft. I know. What's that?
Well, I just found something. What is alchemy in the Bible? So you're talking about the religious element. It says here, thanks to Google, alchemy is defined as a divine secret that is inherited from our father Adam, who passed it on to his sons, the wizards and the philosophers of Islam, through the honorable Elia, the saints, and the great prophets. And the work goes on to divide alchemy into two sciences, you know, and blah, blah, the elixirs and the fixing of other things. So it's like,
that is interesting.
So you talk the biblical context of alchemy, but you had to be special.
Well, true, and and there's different eras of the old church. I know that King Henry IV and his son V. I know a little bit about him. I just listened to a podcast about him. Actually, they were deeply religious, and Henry IV was a usurper. He needed the church on his side. So these early, think about that too. The politics of the time in which these early alchemists were existing. Yeah. All of this has an impact on the history of alchemy, on the history of early chemistry, on the history of human learning. And, you know, when you look at it from our perspective in the modern era, you know, some of these things can be silly, but yeah, they were really tackling the fundamental aspects of this, of these sciences, of these disciplines. Like you said, there are still things that were discovered then that are used today. Distilling right off the top of my head. So all of these things kind of feed into this process, and it is, yeah, it's just really interesting. It's also in, not endearing. Oh, I know words. I know lots of words. I can't think of it. It is,
Dr. Mike has just said, in the chat, my understanding of the core goals of alchemy included the transmutation of metals, philosopher's stone, elixir of life, and spiritual and mystic and mystical transformation. Mm. Thanks for that. Damien has said that the philosopher's stone was made from the distillation of urine.
Yeah, they thought urine did all kinds of stuff back in the day. Sometimes even on Instagram and TikTok these days, people think urine does a lot.
You know, it's so there's, but it is, you know, if anybody wanted to get, I know we're just covering the surface when we mm-hmm. get into these programs, but it is very fascinating. There are a lot of books, old books on alchemy, and some people firmly believe it. In other cases, it's just considered a pseudoscience. But it is another one of those very interesting mm-hmm. explorations.
And, you know, as I was arguing too, it's a lot of it's semantics. You know, what is alchemy other than just chemistry? It's just about the elements and seeing what they do. You know, there is a, you know, a list of some things that I thought was, you know, interesting. And, just different examples of, you know, these early people. Now, you touched on a couple of the big ones, distillation, sublimination, where you go from solid to gas. But isolation of metals, you know, they were the first to isolate, early alchemists were the first to isolate things like arsenic and zinc.
Yes.
Different things like that, which led to, again, further discoveries later. They were the first to classify substances. Again, that early kind of steps in science, leading to the periodic table. You know, this is where gunpowder came from. These yeah. these disciplines were.
Well, and Damien just said too, ancients made mercury from cinnabar.
Mm.
You know, so
good addition.
Yeah, good point there, Damien. Thanks for that.
And stumbled on phosphorus from the philosopher's stone. I didn't actually see that.
Yeah,
but, sorry, there's a bear attacking me right now. But we fought him off, and we're good to
you
go.
Know, here, that would be literal. I'm just going to digress here for a moment, everybody. You know, when I, as everybody knows, I live in the Okanagan in BC, and I'm kind of in the northern Okanagan, and we have bears there, but mostly it's deer everywhere you go, and they eat people's special flowers, and they're a pain in the butt. But here, visiting with a friend until my place is ready. Bears walk through these neighborhoods like the deer do back home. Kid you not. People have these bear bangers. And the time I've been here, it's like every week I'm seeing bears. And, oh, she says, I bet it's a cute, fluffy bear. No, Wendy, they're big black bears.
Well, I think she's talking about the one that's attacking me. In which case, he is a black bear as well. Just for the record.
So, that was funny. So, I mean, bears and their cubs, and it's been, Jerry says the Okanagan is the best grape for ice wine. It's the best for any kind of wine, I'll have you know. Yeah, it's very famous for its wines. So anyway,
I had not.
I had to throw that in there about the bears around here because, you know, minding my own business, and there's these bear bangers, and people are shooting off rifles. And I think, yeah. Oh, shouldn't they? Well, Talca says, no, those are bear bangers.
People figure out how to adapt to the wildlife and the surroundings. No, yeah, in this case, Yeah, this particular black bear is a German Shepherd black lab mix, and he was trying to fight his way through the layer of dogs to get to me. But we have reestablished order. I rule with an iron fist. We're ready to talk about the different types of alchemy again.
Well, you have to do that.
So
Audra is saying she's late to the conversation. Jeez, Audra, we're not going to forgive you for that. But ever since I saw the Sword in the Stone movie as a kid, I always thought the sorcerers and alchemists were just old-time scientists. Well, they kind of were.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they were.
I mean, think about druids, right?
And Dr. Mike has added, the process of extracting mercury from cinnabar, mercury sulfate, HGS, has been known for centuries and is one of the earliest forms of chemical extraction performed by alchemists and later by chemists. You know, we have a very clever group here, Michael.
We do. And thank God, because, you know, if we had to just rely on my anecdotes and ideas, then we'd be screwed.
So, and thanks for that, Dr. Mike. And but you're right, Audra, that this really was an attempt at science, and that's kind of what we've been, talking about. So it's a fascinating field. And like I say, now they do use alchemy, but in common practice, it's just a spiritual kind of connotation. I will say, though, that witches, warlocks, there's lots of other spiritual groups that take alchemy very seriously. So, and kind of do all kinds of stuff. So what they do, I'm not really sure, because I kind of steer away from that.
Well, yeah. It's a very storied history, I'll say that much. And of course, when you go back this far, you're still dealing with, people don't know. And when they don't know, they fill in the gaps, right? And I think that there's some inherent truth that people have found and that we might disregard now. But I think you have to admit that there's been a lot of silly things that people once believed. Leeches come immediately to mind. Everybody knows that example, do some bloodletting for everything. But
they did.
And it's the very fact that you have generation after generation of people that are just keep pushing to expand their knowledge and their awareness that is indicative of the human character. It is, it's invigorating. It's it gives you a sense of hope in humanity that we will continue to build on knowledge and things like that. So it's good stuff.
It's a great field. So, okay, I'm going to have to digress here. Again, we're all over the place, Michael. But someone was asking, what is ice wine? Because Jerry mentioned it. And Damien has said, is when you distill wine with freezing temperatures, it's called Jack. And that's so last year, the wineries in the Okanagan lost their ice wine. And only because we had this massive freeze in January, it went too cold. And then when it did warm up, of course, a lot of the orchards were lost, a lot of plants were lost, and it warmed up, and the temperature, of course, the grapes were lost, so the temperature wasn't right for the grapes and ice wine. So they don't get ice wine every year, and just so you know that. It has to be done. It's in the new year, generally around February, like January, February, early March, and the temperature has to be at exactly right to be able to harvest the grapes. So that's why it's expensive and it's rare.
I've never heard of ice wine before just now, so learning about ice wine too. We should probably get into the different ways to distill things like moonshine and stuff. Which, by the way, if you can get your hands on actual moonshine and done in the old Appalachian way, that's good. That's good stuff. I had some in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Oh, good times.
So we certainly do cover the gamut here. Like, that's kind of a form of alchemy in itself when you think about making ice wine. And,
it is.
But Wendy's saying she wants to try it. I'm just warning you, it is a little expensive, but it doesn't get produced every year. So that's another reason. So, yeah.
You know, looking through the history of alchemy, at least in Europe, you know, it's largely rooted in the post-Roman Empire era, what they used to call the Dark Ages, goes all the way up through the medieval period into the Age of Science and things like that. It's just incredible how you can look at every era and how even today we're looking back on things that were once scoffed at and we're realizing that they often were more rational than we gave them credit for at the time. You know, they had a good foundational reason to think some of these things, but of course they didn't have the context that we do today. But, you know, I've been looking through some things today just on the history of alchemy, and you see some of the most interesting things going on back to Plato. And he had weird ideas about different forms of transmutation and alchemy and urines being involved and, you know, quote, a man's seed and being injected into different animal tides and things. Like, where did you come up with this? My God. Plato, come on, stick to different, you know, philosophy and Atlantean things. That's, you went weird. But
so at this point, if anybody would like a card,
you read my mind on that.
I'm going to pull cards again tonight, but not before we don't offer to you, Dr. Mike. He missed us last week. Of course he did. But he was at a Tom Jones concert in Dallas, and he said, all I can say is at 84, he has not lost his vocal ability. Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. Sounds like it was a great concert.
It does. You know, and I'd like to think that we can approach Tom Jones in turn, but yeah, we can't. I get it. But so you're forgiven.
I like Tom Jones.
Yeah,
he actually does the voice, I think, on in Britain, isn't it? Britain.
Britain is a country. I don't know what we're.
Yeah, well, like Britain's Got Talent.
Oh. You know? Oh, I never, yeah. I don't do the talent TV shows.
Yeah, well, you're missing things.
I probably am. Although I did see the one where they had the border collar dance, border collie dancing, the dog dancing with the person.
Oh, she was good.
Oh, that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we
do. That's the one where Richard Goodall won.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw the clip of the dog dancing. But it's apropos of me. But we are getting some names in here. And it is that time of the evening, so we're going to start pulling some cards. And first off, I think I'm seeing Dr. Jeff, if I caught that right. Oh, nope. We've got more up above. We have Dr. Jerry. I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right.
All right, Jerry.
And for you, number 20, Deliberate Intent. All right, first card of the evening, number 20, Deliberate Intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, you'll love this, Jerry. I got the magician. So, deliberate intent, and you're making magic happen like alchemy. So I'm not fooling either. It's very clear. Deliberate intent, know what you want, you know, and you focus and then just let that ride because there is a whole big, you know, shift in process as we speak. And that's fun. Yeah.
Good stuff. Dr. Jerry throwing in chat, talking about Dr. Mike going to see the Tom Jones concert. Does he still have a grinding hip action at 84? I bet you he does. Probably with some kind of adamantium replacement hip. But.
Oh, Mike says, he does not move like he used to, but he was standing the entire 2 hours.
He's got me beat.
That's awesome.
All right. Now I think we have Dr. Jeff next, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
For you, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Let's see. Number 20, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
And in support of that, Jeff, I got the Eight of Diamonds, which to me is always about apprenticeship. You know, the learning as you go and contributing to things. In this case, I'm going to kind of take it literal. You know, you're giving forward and, you know, that it, like what comes back in return is a different kind of energy. And that Eight of Diamonds is this huge learning curve, which is really positive, I might add. Oh, Wendy says you had the Pay It Forward card back in February 21st, to be exact. So to me, this is a really positive indicator that as you've given, it's returning, and you're learning more, an insightfulness. But I think that there's a productivity adding to this as well. So I think you got some projects coming up. That's what I think.
Good stuff. I like it.
Okay, right. Audra.
Which I don't think we should pull a card for Audra. She was late. You know, she was working on the band. But gonna anyway.
All right.
Audra, for you, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning what is only yours and releasing the rest.
And in support of that, I got the Ten of Pentacles, Ten of Diamonds. And I always see that as the marketplace. You know, the perhaps the work environment, the market you work in, that take and release ownership. You know, it's, I think it's like focusing on the job at hand. And never mind the politics. Know what belongs to you, what belongs to others. Don't be afraid to delegate if it's their job. You know, that kind of thing, Audra. But it's got that Ten of Diamonds is a really, again, another positive in that it moves ahead. So as you're learning skills, it's in other words, paying off for you. So you're going to start to see the benefits. Exciting. Okay, we have Zoran next, I think, Michael. And Michael's on mute.
That has never happened in the history of this broadcast. Those are libelous slander. So now that I'm off mute, Dr. Zoran, for you, I have number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing, always growing. Today is a reflection of past choices. Tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Okay, so the supporting symbol for that is the tower. What I like about the tower, Zoran, is that it still has its foundation from which to rebuild. So that perfection, so in other words, if some things aren't going quite the way you expected or planned, I want to say don't sweat it, because it's stuff you don't need and you'll be glad of it clearing and taking on a new energy later. Oh, Michael, we've all been there. We have a plan, we're going forward, and then, you know, some kind of chaos. And we think, yikes. How am I going to get myself out of this one? Mm-hmm. Or what am I going to do with that? And where's the solution? And then suddenly something new appears. And you go, I never would have thought of that. That's kind of the feeling I have here for Zoran. So that's, I don't think it's a bad thing, Zoran. Even if you're a little frustrated, just hang in there.
Good advice. Always good advice. All right.
We have Dr. Edward next.
Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack of.
Well, I got the Seven of Spades in support of that. What I like about that one is something moves in a direction better than you expected. So, again, keep in mind that all symbols have an equal and opposite. So I could see the Seven of Swords as being something taken away or something given. And it depends on the supporting energy, the supporting symbol. And in this case, meaning and purpose, I see that as a positive. So it's feeling that sense of purpose or like feeling kind of a revival of that and feeling like, whew, you know, he asked that question to himself quite often, mm-hmm. is that the value you have in life is how you share it and how you interact with others, what we bring to the table. It doesn't have to be something grand and, you know, grandiose. Sometimes it's all those tiny little things, Edward, and understanding that about yourself and how you start to see, and good things start kind of coming your way more than they were. It's just an awareness thing, I think, too. So, I talk about that for a minute. Sometimes we all wonder, what is my purpose?
Mm.
But we're living it.
Yeah.
In every day, a smile at somebody at the store. We've talked about this in the past. You know, it's there's so many different interactions that we have, you know, with life, and that in and of itself is purpose. I think we all want to feel something more greater,
mm-hmm.
and that we've had value. And I think that's where sometimes we get tripped up is what is my value?
Yeah.
And do I feel valued? It's a big one.
It is.
And maybe that's something we should really talk about next week and go into, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meaning and purpose.
I think that's an excellent topic.
Yeah, let's do that.
I was going to go into famous Halloween ghosts, goblins, and monsters, but let's do that instead.
Oh, well, we got a couple of weeks for that.
Okay, but yeah, we'll do something like that later. But no, that's actually an excellent topic. Yeah. I think we'll look forward to it.
We got to pick a card here for Wendy.
Oh, we do not. That's a ridiculous statement. But Wendy, I did pick a card for you. You get number 22 thing for yourself. Always a good one. And just another shout out to Wendy. She's been keeping track of our cards, you know, our card keeper here in the group. And appreciate, you know, you putting that out. Audra, I didn't even see that you had a repeat back in February, which I think was the repeat we had for somebody. My chat's going back down too fast. But we had, I think, another repeat in, Dr. Jeff had the card in February 21st. Mm. Audra, you had February 14th. And I got to say, you know, a lot of our numbers, our cards have been in the 20s tonight, right? A lot of twos going on. But I digress. Wendy, for you, number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for their popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
And in support of that, a little message for you, Wendy, King of Swords. The think for yourself, you've got a King of Spades here. It may be that somebody else has other ideas of in manners of advice. And as I say, you know, if somebody's giving you advice that you wouldn't necessarily agree with, that you hadn't heard of before, or, you know, you just say, you know, I'll think about that, or I'll take that under advisement. You know, and so you don't totally dismiss it. so that whoever's giving the advice doesn't feel brushed off entirely. But, you know, where you can say, yeah, no, okay, well, I'll think about that. But you're still going to think for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And Wendy had thrown in chat, she had number 22, think for yourself, last week, too.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a repeat, actually. It is rare that you see one back-to-back like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
For sure.
So, really hope that connects and glad that glad you enjoyed that. But, yeah, I'm just looking through to see if I missed anything. It's been a good chat tonight.
Yes. So, meaning, purpose, and value. Dr. Jerry added the value part for next week's talk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you write that down, Michael.
I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now.
But it's, no, again, back to alchemy. I think we could see alchemy in our everyday life if we really took a look at it. Energy transforming, you know, we're changing. If you're working on healing energy, you're sending out good vibes, that's a form of alchemy in itself.
It is. I mean, absolutely. And I will always take inspiration from the fact that for thousands of years, human beings have been trying to figure out what makes this world tick and keep pushing the envelope further and further along. And,
that's,
you know,
sure.
I'll say that I have a little bit of respect for early alchemists, early scientists, early people, you know, before the word science was in common use. I kind of scoffed at some things about alchemy in the past. You know, of course, there was a few things I knew, but I thought a lot of it was superstition, but, you know, I was wrong. There's a lot of it that was based in reason, that was based in...
Sorry.
No, hey, listen, I admit to being wrong all the time. It's just usually not when other people can hear it. But
no, when I have said I'm wrong, who's giggled at me?
Well, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that several, but yeah, me. I get you.
That's funny.
I was also wrong when I thought, you know, no, Barry, he's going to be quiet back there. He'll be fine. No, we'll be fine. I was wrong then, too.
Yeah, funny. Dr. Mike says it is called better living through modern chemistry. Mm,
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. You know, so it is, I think we can observe it every day of our life in some way. It's just looking back, you have to remember that some people got their heads chopped off or thinking of it or even speaking the word.
Barry did not like that. In the past life, Barry had his head chopped off for being an alchemist.
Well, don't go to Ohio. They're eating the dogs and cats.
Oh, my gosh. I had
no
idea.
Did I say that out loud? Oh, no. That was my back mind voice, Michael. I'm sorry. It just kind of spit out.
We like to have fun.
We do. But, you got to have fun.
You got to. But,
yeah.
Well, it is that time of the evening. You know, it has
it
been
is.
A really good discussion. I can't remember whose idea it was. I want to say Adjumanizoran. I can't remember. But it was a good idea, whomever it was, and we appreciate it. We appreciate your ideas. Looking forward to next week's discussion on meaning, purpose, and value. And
Dr. Mike has said, I thought I was wrong once, but I was wrong. I couldn't help. I got to say that.
That was a good one. When I was a kid, I'd get into these arguments with my father, and I remember quipping to him in a very snarky kind of way, and I said, listen, I'm never wrong. Sometimes I'm just less right.
Yeah.
And that's been something he's brought up many a time to tell me.
We can go there.
But
great show, Michael. Thank you.
No, it's been a good discussion, and I've loved having this conversation with you. I love the feedback we get from the chat each and every week, and I loved kind of looking into this a little bit more, so thank you for the idea. But looking forward to seeing everybody next week. Again, you know, our thoughts and well wishes are with those suffering from Hurricane Helene and all storms all over, the flooding in Alaska, fires in Canada as recently as last week. Do I remember that right?
Yep. Yeah, we were on the watch a few days ago again here.
Just stay safe out there. And just looking forward to everybody next week. And anything before we wrap up?
No, just take care, people.
Good.
Take care of yourselves out there.
Good advice. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.